Mike, hey, it's rare to have a Thursday nighter with two teams, 6-3, battling for first place. So this is a great place to start the week. Who do you like tonight?
Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic game, as it was the first time around, I think, anyway. A lot on the line, obviously. This is probably the most highly contested division in the NFL, certainly the best division in the NFL. And one of these teams wants to win it, for sure. So it's going to be a good one tonight. I think my projected score for this game is 30-29 in favor of the Seahawks. They're at home, so that gives them a tiny edge. But, you know, this one could definitely go either way with both teams playing so well. And I know Seattle, you know, they've lost a couple games recently. But, I mean, this is a team that before last week had scored 4-plus offensive touchdowns in every single game. I mean, they are still humming on all cylinders offensively. So this should be a good one.
When you look at Seattle, like, there's a lot of pressure on their offense to basically just be great every game if they want to win. Like, how come their defense has really shown no signs of significant improvement yet this year?
Yeah, you know, that's funny you ask that, because Field Yates and I had that same conversation on the Fantasy Focus podcast today, you know, just talking about the personnel they have on that side of the ball and what has gone wrong. And, you know, a big part of it has been a lack of a pass rush. They have invested quite a bit in edge rushers over the past couple of years, including a first rounder last year, and it just has not translated so far. They just have not been able to get a pass rush. Now, they did just trade for Carlos Dunlap, and he flashed a little bit in his Seahawks debut, so there is hope in that department. Where there's not hope, though, is in coverage. You know, Jamal Adams was hurt, and he'll help a little bit, but he does a lot more than cover top wide receivers. But, you know, you have Shaq Griffin, you have Quentin Dunbar. We thought that would be one of the better duos at corner in the NFL, and it has not been. You know, both of those guys are top 10 in terms of production allowed to opposing receivers in coverage this season, and they both missed multiple games. You know, that just shows you how much has been piled on them this year, and they're both going to be out for this game. They're, you know, they're down to really their second string corners on the perimeter as well as their second string slot corner. So I'm not sure that's going to be any better anytime soon, and it should really be a field day for this Cardinals passing game. But otherwise, yeah, just as a unit, over just major disappointment. I don't know if I have a great answer. The talent is there. They just have not been able to schematically get the job done.
When you look and because you rank every position, we'll get some of your rankings in a sec. Every week you rank them based on matchup and such. Now that Drew Brees is out, like, how much does that change when you rank even a guy like we know Kamara is going to get a ton of touches. I don't think that's necessarily going to change, but any of their receivers, you know, like Michael Thomas and such, because, like, I believe that Jameis Winston is going to be the quarterback there. I can't think that Hill's going to play ahead of him. Like, yeah, he led the league in passing yards. Yeah, he led them in interceptions, but he also led the league in touchdowns, and that was with him allegedly not seeing the ball or seeing downfield properly, and he got eye surgery. So what do you make of Winston? Is that a wild card for you this week?
Yeah, I mean, I think in deeper leagues, if you're desperate at quarterback, maybe you had Brees, maybe you have a bye week guy out at quarterback, maybe you want to scoop him up or at least throw him on your bench just for a lottery ticket. Because remember, Jameis Winston threw a ton of interceptions last season. He was still a top fantasy quarterback, right? And now he's going to really a better supporting cast. I mean, they have some pretty good weapons with Kamara and Michael Thomas, even Jared Cook, a pretty good offensive line. And we know he can sling it around. So, you know, there's pretty much every team in the league, if their quarterback goes down, you're going to downgrade the other weapons. I don't think we need to do that, at least in a significant way here, because we know that Jameis Winston can support a fantasy-friendly offense, right? We saw that last year. He had two top five fantasy wide receivers in Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. And, you know, here he really just has to support Michael Thomas. I mean, who else are you starting? Maybe Cook. Maybe in a deeper league, Emmanuel Sanders. I mean, either way, no matter who the quarterback is, you're starting out with Kamara. So I still think Thomas can be a viable starting fantasy wide receiver. We'll see how it goes this week for sure. But, the best news is probably that it's a great matchup. The Falcons have allowed the most fantasy points to quarterbacks, the third most to wide receivers. They just have really struggled on that side of the ball, even though they have been a little bit better since they made the coaching change. But, yeah, I think Kamara, Thomas, they can be started. And Jameis, yeah, if you're in rough shape at quarterback, he's not the worst flyer this week.
What do you make of the eye surgery for him. Do you think it, you know, do you think it could be that much of a factor, or do we have to see him play before we can make any sort of, you know, realistic, you know, response to that question?
Well, look, if I wasn't wearing my contacts or glasses and I tried to play quarterback, even against my kids, it would not go very well. So I don't know how he was doing it. But at the same time, I don't think that's why he was throwing so many interceptions. Like, was it that bad that he couldn't see the colors on the uniforms? You know, it's hard to imagine that's true. You know, he had a lot of mistakes, but he also had a lot of success. And I don't think you have that if you can't see at the NFL level. So I think that I can't imagine it's going to make more than a minor difference. But perhaps the better, you know, the better scheme, something that kind of reins him in a little bit from that freewheeling vertical YOLO attack that Bruce Arians ran, you know, maybe, you know, with some better organization offensively, he'll be a better, you know, turn it over, let's be a better overall quarterback, a better asset for that offense. But, you know, again, from a fantasy perspective and an offensive production standpoint, we know we can get it done. We've seen the upside from him before.
Mike Clay from ESPN joins us. And Mike, with the return of Andy Dalton to Dallas, we know they've struggled all year long, but how much of an uptick guys like Lamb and Cooper and, you know, now Ezekiel Elliott's obviously, you know, he's a top running back. It's a no-brainer. You're going to start him. But, you know, what do you make of Cooper and Lamb heading into this week?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's an upgrade, right? I mean, Andy Dalton wasn't so good subbing in for Dak Prescott earlier this year, so we don't know yet. I mean, I want to see it first. So if I have any sort of avenue toward benching my Cowboys, I would do that, you know. And you may have other options because you've needed them for the past month when they've been out and through bye week. So CeeDee Lamb, I mean, I don't think he's a must start. I would try to bench him if I can. Amari Cooper is a hard bench because he's had a little bit of success during this this run of underwhelming quarterback play from Dallas. Michael Gallup, again, hard guy to start right now. Dalton Schultz is more of an option in 16-team leagues. And Zeke, I mean, you say he's a must-start. I mean, I think I tend to agree because I still think he'll push for 20 touches. Any time a running back's getting 20 touches, they're hard to bench. But, you know, he's going the wrong direction right now. He has not been a good fantasy running back since Dak Prescott went out. His usage has dropped a little bit. The production has been way down. The offense isn't scoring, so there's a chance he could completely plummet to irrelevance if this offense can't get going, because that has been the trend lately. So there is some hope here with Andy Dalton, but I need to see it to believe it.
What's your thoughts on Kalen Ballage for the Chargers this week? You know, they're going against the Jets, so does that – I saw you have him ranked 17th, which, like, usually if you're a running back going against the Jets, you'd think you'd crush them, but – or are you just expecting the Chargers to pass the ball a lot more than run it?
No, it's a highly productive offense. I mean, I think we have to add in some risk here that, you know, maybe he fumbles or makes a mistake early and they pull him and go with Troy Maine Pope or Josh Kelly, the rookie. That's the way he got the job, and that's kind of been what's going on with this backfield since Austin Ekeler went down. They've just been kind of rotating guys and using the hot hand. So he's a tempting start for sure after all the volume that he got last week. And like you said, this is a high-scoring offense. They've been terrific since Justin Herbert took over at scoring points. And, you know, he's coming off a game where he was right around 20 touches and was a strong fantasy asset. And, again, they should be able to run the ball plenty in this game against the Jets. So I do think he's an RB2 option, but he's not a must-start. I mean, if you still have options you're comfortable with, I would say, you know, just keep riding those guys. Don't take the risk.
Mike Clay joins us from ESPN. Mike, we got a lot of texts coming in at 10, 12, 60 and a half point PPR league. Do you like Logan Thomas or Jared Cook?
Let's see. Logan Thomas or Jared Cook. That's a good one. I'm going to lean toward Thomas on this one. He's actually been trending up with the quarterback change. It's a good matchup against Cincinnati. I think he gets a tiny edge, especially with, again, some quarterback uncertainty there with the Saints.
You look at the tight end position this year. Kelsey's obviously been quite good, and then Waller's number two. But, you know, like Andrews' numbers are down. There's, you know, Gronkowski's obviously not been there. Are teams using the tight end less this year, or do we just not have as many overall talented tight ends as we've had in previous years? Because tight end scoring seems to be down.
Yeah, it is down. I think injuries is a big part of it. In terms of target share to that position, it's about the same, so no real change. The problem is there's just so many guys that have been injured this season, okay. including George Kittle, which is the big one. And, you know, some guys have disappointed a bit, but as usual, it's just, you know, look, let me say this. I thought this year might be the year of the breakout tight end, right? There were just so many guys that seemed to be on the cusp of a big breakout season, from T.J. Hockenson and Noah Fant to Hayden Hurst and I mentioned Mike Gesicki, Jonnu Smith, Dalton Schultz, Blake Jarwin before him. There were just a laundry list of names. And, again, almost everyone I just said got hurt, right? I mean, they've all missed time. Irv Smith just missed a game as well. So I think that's just been the real issue at that position. And we'll see if it tightens up a little bit down the stretch. But you're right. I mean, Travis Kelce is far and away the number one. Darren Waller's two with Mark Andrews in that mix. And then you start to get back into those guys I listed for that next year of tight ends. But there's very few tight ends right now that are kind of just set it and forget it, put them in your line if you know they're going to be solid. It's kind of a mess behind them right now.
Yeah, now you look at matchups sometimes, and like Hayden Hurst, is he not, because you felt he'd be a breakout guy, when you look at snap count, it's pretty high. Is it just because they have, you know, two dominant receivers in Ridley and Jones when he's healthy, and that's why his numbers haven't been as high as people expected?
I mean, he's been trending up for sure. He's up to tight end 7 on the season. So he started out kind of slowly and then has kind of picked it up. He's actually had 4 straight top 10 fantasy weeks. They're coming off their bye. So he's come around after a slow start. Maybe he was just getting kind of involved in that offense. And, like I said earlier, they're playing better, too, since they moved on from Dan Quinn. This team has been more effective on both sides of the ball. So I think he's one of the guys that we could be talking about as the secure tight end 1 down the stretch here. But we'll see how he does here off the bye against the Saints.
One of our listeners is wondering, would you start Carlos Hyde if Carson can't go, which it seems that he's probably not going to play?
Yeah, I mean, I have Hyde 26 on my running back board. So I do think he's a viable flex option if you're in a deeper league, maybe an RB2. We don't know exactly for sure if they're going to throw him right back into the fire. Remember, he's been out about a month with an injury. But when his biggest game of the year was against Arizona about a month ago. That was the game Chris Carson left injured, and Hyde scored a touchdown. I think he had 66 rushing yards in that game, 3 catches. So, you know, there's definitely an avenue here for him to put, you know, 15 fantasy points, we'll say, on the board. So it depends on your situation, but he's definitely an option.
Mike, another interesting one, because Cincinnati, you know, they got the young quarterback in Burrow, and they'll throw the ball all over the field, except to A.J. Green. But they're going against Washington's pass defense and their overall defense, which is pretty good. So would you go Tyler Boyd or Kirk from Steve?
By the way,
I should say a half-point PPR.
Yeah, I'm going to go Boyd here. He's 18th on my board. I know Washington has shut down wide receivers, but they haven't faced a lot of volume, haven't had some super tough competition by any means, and I think Boyd's a really interesting name this week, so I'd go back to that. Well, but I do like Kirk a lot. He's a great matchup here against Seattle, as we talked about earlier on. I mean, they're just hurting right now at corner. They've allowed the most fantasy points to receivers. It's been a disaster. So I like both guys, but if I'm picking one, I'm going Boyd.
Okay. Now, what about, do you like Boyd or T. Higgins better?
I'm going Boyd again. You know, I know that Higgins is the hot name, and he's the shiny new toy. And I like him, again, I like him too. I have him 23rd on my board. So I think they're both starters in fantasy right now, but Boyd is all reliable, super high floor, been super productive. He's averaging 16 points a game this season, so I can't go wrong with Tyler Boyd.
And I'm going to ask you a selfish one just for my own league. I've got Hayden Hurst going up against the Saints, but I also have Darren Waller against KC. Who would you start in a PPR?
Oh, I'm going Waller. Like I said, Kelsey's the only guy this week, at least, that I think's ahead of Waller. So, and he's been tremendous. I don't think people realize this. You know, his targets, you know, his target share, his usage is basically the same as last year. But he's already beat his touchdown total from last season already, and we're just past the midway point, right? He has 4 already. He had 3 all of last year, so he's been even better. And, again, he's getting you some solid production. So Kelsey's 1, Waller's 2. I wouldn't even think about benching either one of those guys.
I love it as always, Mike. And, you know, should be, there's five really good matches this week. You know, when we look at teams, in the NFL for good ones. The starts tonight. Of course, you've got, you know, Green Bay and the Colts and KC and Vegas and the Rams and the Bucks on Monday night. And of course, Tennessee and Baltimore also 6-3. Give me your thoughts on the Colts. Are they surprising you at 6-3?
No, honestly, that's right where I had them coming in. I thought they were going to win that division, beat out Tennessee, and that's about where they are right now. So, you know, we'll see if the offense can keep rolling the rest of the way, because they've been hot as of late, and their defense is, you know, again, if you look at their defense on paper in the offseason, you kind of saw this coming. They had a lot of talent, especially after they acquired DeForest Buckner. So, not a surprise at all, and I think they'll keep it up.
And any chance that the Chargers, who lost to the Bears when they were 0-13 a few years ago to end the Bears' streak at the perfect season, will they do it again against the 0-9 Jets?
The way they've been blowing games this year, it's possible. I mean, it's hard to believe, but they're 2-7 despite the fact that Justin Herbert has that offense humming. It's hard to believe. And a lot of those were just very close calls. You know, you remember that Donald Parham one recently where he basically had the game-winning touchdown in the end zone, and it just slipped out of his hands and touched the ground. Otherwise, that's a win, and they've had a bunch of close games like that, not only this year, but for, you know, many years going back to the later Phillip Rivers era. So I think the Chargers are a much better team than their record indicates, and I think they'll get the job done pretty easily here against the Jets.
Awesome stuff, Mike. We really appreciate it. And everybody can get your stuff at ESPN.com. Go to the fantasy football page. Mike actually ranks all of them. So if we didn't get to your questions, he ranks everybody in both PPR and standard every week. So you can check it out at ESPN. Thanks for your time as always, Mike. Really appreciate it.
Anytime. Have a good one.